You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 24th of September 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming live today at radioalbion.com because we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from rustjournal.org. Matt, good day to you, sir. How are you doing?
You know, I used to think that, you know, so long as people would accept media lies, it would be profitable to promote them. But now I realize that the media is willing to lose millions and millions of dollars a month for the sake of the agenda. And I wish more people came to realize that.
Well, more and more people are waking up to the lies that the mainstream media are telling. I think the mainstream media, the fact they make such a fuss about alternative media like us, it says a lot about them. It says that they are fearful of competition. And it's not just the mainstream media that is fearful of competition. Even these great big tech companies are fearful of competition as well, as we've seen recently with the TikTok farce, which is what we are going to be talking about today. On Sunday, Trump stated he was giving his blessing to a deal between US giants Oracle and Walmart with ByteDance, TikTok's Chinese owner. By Monday, he had made a U-turn, demanding that the Chinese firm cede control of its US operations completely, or he would ban the popular platform. Initially, the deal reported by the media involved the two US companies taking a 20% stake in the creation of a new venture, TikTok Global, which would see its data managed by the American stakeholders. But now, the White House has seemingly reverted to its old position of demanding that ByteDance, or as it puts it, China, cedes complete control of the application in the US, including the handover of its technology and algorithm. This is where TikTok comes into the picture. The claim that the popular video application is a threat to US national security should not be taken seriously. It's a platform used by young people to post videos, mostly of them doing silly dances. Washington has a way of whipping up fear and hysteria in order to manufacture consent for its aggressive foreign policies. There is no serious evidence TikTok has engaged in any wrongdoing. Instead, the impetus is geopolitical. The US finds the idea of a Chinese social media application gaining global acclaim as intolerable and a threat to its own monopolies in Silicon Valley. The Trump administration's response to any Chinese initiative which challenges or outgrows US capabilities is simply to attempt to crush it by coercive force. And this is the strangest of things, Matt, because Facebook and Twitter and all these companies, they are censoring and banning all of Donald Trump's supporters. And yet here he is doing their bidding and ensuring that their largest competitor gets taken over by them. I mean, I guess you could say, well, at least it shows he's loyal to American companies, even though they treat him in such a bad way. I guess it shows his patriotism, but it's stupid patriotism. What is he doing helping out Facebook and Twitter by doing away with the competition here? What do you make of this, Matt?
What we're going to see as this show goes on that it actually gets a lot worse than that. He has relationships with these companies that despise him and try to keep him from being reelected at every turn. The first thing that occurs to me is that, you know, Trump has, you know, doesn't really have the power to decide, ownership percentages. Not only is this not something that really a president can do, it's really something that a court can do, or at the very least, a legislature can do. This isn't necessarily something that comes from an executive order. But the other thing is, the only thing that matters, and they admit it right here, that the main thing is handing over its technology. China is ahead of the U.S. in this respect. One of the reasons that TikTok, which, by the way, I discovered what TikTok was like a month ago. I went on it for like 3 seconds. Don't know what the big deal is, but it is the fastest growing platform. And it's something about how it's structured that it makes it much easier to use and much quicker and everything else than the American competition. So this has to do with handing over the technology, not to mention being frightened of competition.
Well, let's have a look at the deal itself here. American citizens will take up 4 of the 5 board seats for TikTok Global, and only 1 can be held by Chinese. The board of TikTok Global would include a national security director who will have to be approved by the US. Oracle will then have the authority to check the source code of TikTok USA and its updates, as TikTok and Douyin should have the same source code. This means the US can get to know the operations of Douyin, the Chinese version of TikTok. TikTok Global will control the business of TikTok around the world, except for China. It will block IPs from the Chinese mainland to access it. This means the Americans can take control of the global business of TikTok and reject Chinese to access it. When Trump said he had approved the new TikTok deal, he noted the new company would have nothing to do with China and would be fully controlled by the US. On Monday, he said Oracle and Walmart would have total control of the service. Otherwise, we are not going to approve the deal. I mean, this is so unjust, isn't it? I mean, it's just another country steaming in there and saying, we're going to take over all your tech and you're not going to be able to do anything about it. I mean, morally, this just seems really wrong to me. But I guess, is this what goes on in the business world? Is this acceptable behavior, Matt? What do you make of it?
Well, this is proof. If you ever needed any proof that we live in a pure oligarchy, it's this, that these tech giants, despite their loathing of the president, can march into the White House and demand that their competition be removed from their market and start dictating terms in the most unjust way without any due process or anything like that, making up all of it. Zuckerberg was the one who invented the all the Chinese espionage stories, obviously in his own interest. That is pure oligarchy, where firms are so powerful they can just march in and start deciding things like this. And keep in mind, when Mao Zedong was, I mean, China is no longer a communist state, but when they were prior to 1976, nothing like this happened. The U.S. had no sanctions on China at any point while Mao was slaughtering tens of millions of people. I should say the same thing about Stalin and the Soviet Union. No problem there. Only when they become a nationalist or a national socialist state, all of a sudden now you have deals like this.
Well, what about the free market and capitalism? And, you know, if the consumers are there and they buy it, you're supposed to be able to make the money. And, you know, America will complain that China has anything to do, the actual Chinese state has something to do with these companies that they have. And yet here we have the American state stepping in there to get rid of the competition and effectively step in there and force China to hand over its technology to these American tech companies. It goes against all the things that we're told about capitalism and the free market. It seems to me it goes against, you know, all the rules of that. Well, it seems the algorithms are actually the target of this. Experts told the Global Times that competitive algorithm technologies of some Chinese tech giants are becoming a new target of the US war against China's tech rise. China's algorithm technology is in a leading position globally, in contrast to the domestic chip industry, which is years behind that of the US. As the trade war initiated by the US has spread to other fields, including the tech industry, analysts said algorithm technology has become an important factor in the tech war, and China has said the selling of algorithm to foreign countries should not be allowed, as it may harm China's national security. Fang Jingdong, director of the Consortium of Internet and Society at the Communication University of Zhejiang, told the Global Times on Monday that algorithm technology is based on big data, and China has obvious advantages in this area, especially in the entertainment and lifestyle applications such as short videos, which have huge numbers of users. No country in the world is stronger than China in this field, Fang told the Global Times. He also said that the TikTok algorithm is the app's core technology and the foundation for its success. It is TikTok's advanced algorithm that makes its video content well organized and presented so that it fits the tastes of global users, he said. TikTok reportedly remained the world's most downloaded non-gaming app in August, with more than 63.3 million installations per month. It had surpassed 2 billion downloads by April amidst the COVID-19 pandemic. The US companies not only want to acquire TikTok's algorithm, but also its huge user database, said TikTok user and IT expert Zhu Yikan, who designs intelligent navigation systems. By fully analyzing and classifying its user data, the TikTok algorithm can build more accurate user portraits than its competitors do, and then it can have more accurate, personalized, and optimized content that suits the demands of its users, Zhu told the Global Times. He refuted the US accusation that TikTok's algorithm threatens the country's national security, saying it just reflects the US double standards. Zhu speculated that a key reason why the US wants to buy the TikTok algorithm is to get its users' data. Tech companies like TikTok should not sell their algorithm tech. If it is sold, it will be easier for other countries to get our user data, which could pose challenges for our national security. If they master our algorithm technology, they can analyze and get users' personal information based on analyzing the data. And if these users are related to national security, it may have a dangerous effect, Zhu said. And it just strikes me here, I don't use any of this social media, so their algorithms won't have been able to build up any picture of me whatsoever. But this is so important to them. You do wonder just what it is these tech companies can predict about people from looking at their social media posts and all the things that they like, and they can build up this profile, and the intelligence services can use it, especially when it's people that are involved, as it says here, in national security or are involved in government. So this is the real reason, is that America wants to get this hold over China. It's not that China has this hold over America with this. It's that America wants access to the algorithm so that they can then look at all the data that China has built up with this algorithm. That's what it appears to me anyway, Matt. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's, you know, the whole privacy concept is a fake issue. You know, maybe if you're a CIA agent working deep cover somewhere, you probably shouldn't have a Facebook account. Otherwise, all this is collecting, search preferences and things like that to target ads to people. That's why this stuff is free. They only worried about privacy when we started talking about censorship. There's a definite correlation between controversies about their censorship and their obsession about privacy. So the only issue here is if, you know, you're working for the Defense Department, maybe you should shut your Facebook down. That's the only issue here. That's the only reason that privacy has become a thing. You have to hit OK for every damn website. It's a make-believe issue. It couldn't be free in any other way. So either way, China or the U.S. talking about national security is nonsensical. And we'll see here in a little bit that Facebook and many of the big Western social media companies have been heavily involved in far more nefarious privacy issues with the National Security Administration and many groups like that. So this is essentially the pot calling the kettle black as far as the Chinese are concerned. This is what happens when you think China is a third world country, and in fact it is not. And when it's forced down your throat that it's not, this is the kind of insane, irrational reaction that you get.
Well, they have really cornered the market with this TikTok app as well. I mean, I don't use it, but it seems to me that it's a very usable way of quickly recording a video and then adding subtitles to it, adding music to it, adding effects to it, and getting it uploaded. So it's not just you recording something. You're sort of adding a storyboard to it. It has text underneath telling you what's going on, and then you've got the pictures or the video that goes along with it. So you can see that it will appeal to young people, and it's very original. You know, it's the first time the Chinese have ever really come out with something original, I think. Although it is made from previous tech that actually comes from the West, and alongside of this, it looks like there is a lack of censorship with it as well. Now, I know Tommy Robinson was removed from there, but that was probably after a huge outcry from the British government, because I have seen other TikTok videos, particularly with this FBI sponsored group Boogaloo. There's quite a few videos of theirs on there that don't appear to have been taken down. And I am wondering whether it is, you know, it is this lack of censorship that is also playing into this as to why people are using it. And we've got a quote here about this as well. Like Amazon, whose servers host the secrets of the US security state, or Facebook, which skyrocketed past the billion user mark with the alleged backing of CIA venture capital fund in Qtel, Microsoft, meanwhile, is for all intents and purposes a private sector extension of the US empire. It was the first to sign on to the NSA's wildly unconstitutional PRISM surveillance program back in 2007. It left exploitable backdoors in its operating systems open for two decades until another government collaborating tech company complained. Even in the privacy-averse 21st century, its intrusive practices, from keystroke logging to chiding users for politically incorrect language, have raised red flags for years. It is also the only tech monopoly ever to be prosecuted for its monopolistic behavior. The big tech apparatus serves as an ideal conduit for the US government to circumvent the Bill of Rights. Private corporations are not legally prohibited from imposing restrictions on users' free speech or digital assembly, no matter how arbitrary. Big tech and Big Brother are two arms on the same octopus. At the heart of the TikTok seizure, which expanded on Friday to an assault on Chinese platform WeChat, is a hatred of competition. As Facebook, Twitter, Google, and YouTube become little more than mainstream media mouthpieces, users will naturally flock to other platforms, especially those with massive user bases like their Chinese competitors. Washington's pet platforms can hardly roll back their censorship regimes, not with an election just a few months away. So in the grand tradition of organized crime, they've made ByteDance an offer they can't refuse. Climb in bed with Microsoft, the most corrupt of the bunch, or get banned. And we are seeing this now. DLive is owned by China, and DLive is fast becoming a far more popular platform than YouTube for live streamers, because so long as you're not breaking the law, they don't mind what you say on there. I mean, why would they mind what you're saying on there, who you're criticizing, so long as you're not breaking the law? The problems with YouTube and Twitter and Facebook is that they will just remove people for being critical. Not for inciting hate, not for breaking the law, but just for being critical of certain groups in society. And, you know, people don't want that. People want to be free to say how they feel. And it's only on these Chinese platforms that people can actually say how they feel. So I do think there is something to this, Matt. What are your thoughts?
Well, the PRISM surveillance program, I kind of forgot about that. It's a way that prosecutors in any court case can go through all of your everything you've ever done online, not just in social media. And Microsoft was a big part of this. I also wrote a paper on the so-called antitrust case against Microsoft in the 1990s, where, frankly, the U.S. Attorneys lost. Microsoft was able to outspend them. You know, they're simply more powerful than the U.S. government is. I mean, when the state itself is using Microsoft systems, it's really hard to start prosecuting them for this. And it was an undisclosed settlement, but they certainly weren't considered guilty of anything. So for these guys then to turn around and say that the Chinese are doing terrible things with this information, with no evidence, by the way, it's the pot calling the kettle black yet again. And the PRISM, which does not come up much in these discussions outside of RT and a few other places like that, precisely for this reason. In fact, the Washington Post actively defended it. Most major media defended the PRISM system. It completely eliminates the Fourth Amendment, and pretty much everything you utter or do or say or write or type on the web now can be used against you at any given time. TikTok, of course, doesn't do anything like this. There is minimal censorship on TikTok, and we forget just how important that is for Microsoft, YouTube, et cetera. And so we can go there, the fastest growing platform on the planet as of right now, and all this free advertising that they're getting from all this this scandal, and we don't have to worry about it. And like the article says, you get censored from Facebook, you go there. I don't know. Gab hasn't really kept up for some reason. I don't know why. I had a Gab account and I forgot all about it. But TikTok is not a part of any of this. And censorship is absolutely essential for the regime to function right now. There's too much information out there. And Facebook didn't just stop at, you know, censoring people like us, but mainstream conservatives, governments, anyone who opposes any important policy initiative of the regime, or even a presidential campaign, which is completely illegal, but gets removed. And that's one of the reasons that TikTok is doing so well.
Facebook have removed all the QAnon accounts. I mean, QAnon are huge supporters of Donald Trump. Are the Donald that was removed from Reddit? I mean, it's not people that are calling for violence. It's people that are noticing things. If you notice things and it's something you're not supposed to notice, they'll accuse you of inciting violence or inciting hatred. And they use this excuse to just shut down all dissent, remove all political opposition. I know I'm really fearful that in years to come, people will look back and they'll just say, well, we can't actually write a history of this time because it's not going to be accurate. Because half the information has been removed. Half the information is not there. If we look at the information that we have online now, it looks like it was all against Donald Trump. How on earth did he win that first election? There's no videos supporting Donald Trump. There's no people supporting him at all. And that's because they've removed all the so-called deplorables from the internet. And it just looks like, you know, if you look at that, well, how on earth did this man get to be president? You can't form an accurate history from it because all the alternative viewpoint has been removed. I mean, it's shocking that we live in a world that is right out of 1984. It really is. I mean, I read that book at school and, you know, the world was never supposed to get like that. And yet here we are today and we have exactly the same censorship. Rewriting of history goes on all over. And the internet used to be such a democratic place where people could where what people said, if it was popular, if it was truthful, it would rise to the top. And they've even done away with that now. You know, this lie that they support democracy, it is a big lie. Anyway, Facebook are really implicated in this as well. In recent weeks, there has been heightened media concern that Facebook is cultivating a close relationship between government and big tech monopolies by poaching and recruiting former senior policy officials. The findings reveal a systematic hiring of government insiders with knowledge of regulation by offering them huge incentives to join. Three senior regulatory staff at the UK's Department for Culture, Media and Sport are among those who recently joined Facebook. Other policy officials joined from the Cabinet Office, the Home Office, and UK Counter-Terrorism Policing. And earlier this year, it was revealed that Facebook had recruited Tony Close as their new Director of Content Regulation. Close was Ofcom's Director of Content Standards, who had been heavily involved with drawing up rules to rein in the tech giants and protect the public. And of course, do not forget the fact that Facebook recruited former UK Deputy Prime Minister Nick Clegg as its Vice President for Global Affairs and Communications, who has been leading Facebook's policy and communications work as part of a concerted effort to preach and lobby against big tech breakups. This is really incestuous, isn't it? You know, regulatory staff from the government that are going through the revolving door and ending up in these tech companies. Of course, these tech companies aren't upholding freedom of speech. They're becoming another wing of the policy department because they're filled with these ex-politicians. Matt, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, for years now, I've tried to explain to people that the distinction between public and private sector no longer exists. There isn't government and corporate America. The bigger the corporation, the more entwined it is with the state. And much of the state's functions are privatized anyway. There needs to be a new language to describe this. One of the words I use is regime with a capital R. That explains but more of a ruling class rather than state or corporate billionaires. It is incestuous. There is no distinction between public and private sector. And, you know, we heard about Donald Trump, and it was the same thing that's going on in the U.S. Donald Trump was supposed to, you know, crack down on this in the U.S., and he hasn't done it. And this is precisely one of the reasons why.
Well, it reminds me of after they bailed out the banks, and all the people that helped to bail out the banks were all given jobs in the banks. And you've got the same thing here now. The people that are writing laws to supposedly to keep us safe on the internet are then basically censoring all the independent voices, all the alternative voices. And then surprise, surprise, they go on to end up working for these big, big monopolies like Facebook. And it's not only Facebook that is behaving like this. The Times reports that at least 14 special advisors had moved to tech companies, including Uber, Google, and Facebook in the past 5 years after a stint in the ministerial offices. These officials have had access to departmental chiefs and the policy formation process. Facebook's doe-eyed CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, has also cultivated a relationship with Trump in order to protect Facebook's social media market share. He has stoked Washington's fears about the threat of Chinese internet companies. At a private dinner at the White House in late October, Zuckerberg made the case to the president that the rise of Chinese internet companies threatens American business and should be a bigger concern than reining in Facebook. Zuckerberg also discussed this with several senators. Soon after, the government began a national security review, and by the spring, Trump was threatening to ban TikTok entirely. This month, he signed an executive order demanding that TikTok's Chinese owner, ByteDance, divest itself of all US operations. The attack on TikTok is driven by the threat it poses to Facebook. It has gained more than 100 million US users, and in the first quarter of 2020, became the most downloaded app in a single quarter, according to research firm Sensor Tower. Now, this says to me that it's Zuckerberg that has the power, not Trump. You know, they will censor Trump. They will get rid of his tweets on Twitter. And then here he is bending over for them and saying, yeah, okay, yeah, we'll do what we want. Do what you want. We'll get rid of TikTok and we'll let Microsoft take it over. It's like a mafia, isn't it, of these tech companies holding the government to ransom, don't you think?
And how many years have I been saying exactly this? That, for a country like China, Johnson's law is very significant. Most people don't know that much. So the regime can go to the left and say, well, they're quashing, you know, Tibet or Xinjiang or these other things. And then they go to the right and say, well, it's a communist country. So they can get both sides on their side, depending, and they customize their argument. And that's exactly what Zuckerberg did here. And it really wasn't that hard. He clearly is the one in control. But that's not just him. It's corporate America in general and all these conglomerates are far more powerful than the executive branch, far more powerful than the U.S. government. And it's taken me years to finally drive this point home. And this is proof of it, absolute proof of it.
Well, we've got a final quote here about American espionage against China. The key to understanding America's ability to snoop on China is a 50-year-old treaty called the UK-USA Agreement, linking the espionage activities of the United States, United Kingdom, and three other English-speaking nations, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. I guess this would be the Five Eyes that we hear them talking about. The technical expertise and the geographic spread of the five nations have permitted them to establish a network of spy posts that grew into an awesome spy machine during the Cold War, and one that continues today. A significant amount of international telephone traffic is carried by satellites like the Intelsats that hang 22,300 miles above the world's oceans and every day relay millions of telephone calls, faxes, emails, as well as raw computer data. The United States and its allies have strategically placed downlinks for those satellites in remote locations. Each location contains two sets of satellite dishes, one to intercept the communications and the other to send them via the Pentagon's communications system to various regional NSA centers for analysis. Yakima, the McCord USAF Army base, would be the station most likely to pick up traffic between Beijing's foreign ministry and the Chinese embassy in Washington. So is this how they get all this information that they know what's going on with TikTok and they want these algorithms? Matt, what's the reason for this bit here?
Well, I added this to show just how advanced American spying is on the Chinese. If you study the psychological phenomenon of projection, a lot of American foreign policy starts making sense. It's very rare that the ruling class doesn't essentially project its own flaws onto other countries. Whatever they accuse another country of doing is usually something that they do on a regular basis. you know, China didn't come into the U.S. and dismantle factories and bring them to China. The American government subsidized them. OPEC subsidized them and insured them. They went over there to take advantage of cheaper labor. The Chinese haven't stolen anything. It's the U.S. and the oligarchy that's done all this. The Chinese may have benefited from it, but they didn't. And, you know, Trump is talking about how they're stealing jobs. And it's the exact same thing here. The U.S. has been China is surrounded by every spy mechanism you can think of, starting from 1951, proving, by the way, they knew Mao Zedong's slaughter of his own people back in the 50s and 60s. They were aware of this and didn't bother them. Only now, all of a sudden, China is a big issue. So for them to be talking about Chinese espionage, and if you search on Google, that's all you're going to find. I think it's important to remind our listeners that it's the U.S. who started this, and China is probably one of the most spied on countries on the planet. So this is pure psychological projection as far as the American ruling class is concerned.
It's always the pot calling the kettle black, isn't it, with these accusations that America makes. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Lampshade. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.